Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Father, it's just amazing what you do through the power of the Word of God. Thank you for giving us a copy. Thank you that we have it available to us. And Father, thank you for a church and a pastor that faithfully preaches thy word to us. Now, Father, since you've given us all this, help us to be responsible enough to hear what you have to tell us through the word of God and the preaching of the word of God today. Help us not to be just hearers, but doers of the word. And Father, if there be one in this room this morning that does not know their sins are forgiven, I pray today before they leave, they would trust Jesus Christ to save them from their sin. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
There it is. Now I check my electronic devices. You check yours. Make sure your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate. Now listen, if your phone goes off during the service and we hear it, the windows are going to go down in your car. The trunk is going to pop up. It's raining outside and you'll go to a wet car. I'll see to it God does that now. So you make sure they're turned off, all right? Don't get shocked if the phone goes off during the service and you go out to a wet car today. It's your fault. So make sure it's turned off or to vibrate and help us there, please, today. We would appreciate that very much. So I'm going to ask you to sit and still and listen very carefully. The message is going to sound somewhat like a philosophical kind of message today. It's a little different Sunday morning type thought or idea than what we would normally preach here. But I want to talk to you about your most precious asset today. The most valuable thing you have. So you're talking about my fishing pole, Pastor Johnson. No, not your fishing pole. Not your golf clubs. That's close. Not your golf clubs, not your car, not your looks, not your youth, not your IRAs, not your iPad, iPod, iPhone, or anything else you got. I want to talk to you about your time this morning. Look at me. That is your most valuable asset. Time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose. And then he begins to list things. If you'll look at that this morning in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 there, please. He says, a time to be born and a time to die. And we won't read all the lists, but every one of them is an extreme. Born, to die, hate, love, peace, war. There are times to these things. In other words, there is a time God has given for each of these things to take place and to happen. I don't know what it was, but these last few weeks has been on my mind a great deal, how quickly time is going. We're almost 4.5 months into 2010. You think about that for a moment. The other day we were just talking about a new year and it's already 4 months, more than 4 months old. Friend, look at me this morning. Do you understand that? That's why when you come to church, that is very special. That's precious. Because you have invested your time to come here. What you give in the matter of time, your time. And the Bible says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose unto heaven. And that time, if you look down at verse number 11, the time for that purpose and those purposes are all set by God. It says in verse 11, He, that's God, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Now look at me. You see, most people think that life just kind of goes on. And then we're here, and then you know this sort of happens, and that they live by luck or happenstance, or oh, that shouldn't have. The Bible says, "To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven." The time that you have this morning, you'll never have it again. This is it. April the 11th at 11:45. That's the only April 11th, 11:45 you're ever going to have. You may have another 11:45, but not April the 11th. You won't. Not in the morning. It's unstoppable time. It's irreversible. It's irreplaceable. That's why it's precious. It's valuable. There's so much to it today. And I want us to understand something this morning. I want us to understand what the Bible says we should be doing with the time that we have. So, well, Pastor Johnson, you have a sense of your mortality? Boy, I sure do. I'm 56 years old. I was thinking the other day, most of my life is now behind me than ahead of me. Kind of got that sense when I would turn 40. And then, you know, it used to be your birthday. You know how kids are so funny. You ask them, how old are you? 5 1/2. Anyone ever told you they were 56 and a quarter? We don't even really pay attention to the years anymore. Now it's kind of like decades. After the 30s, it's sort of like decades. Then you don't even pay attention until all of a sudden you're 40. Then you're 50. And then the sense of the fact that you say, well, you don't have much time left, Pastor Johnson. Oh, I don't know how much time I have. I know this. I must understand, and you and I must understand, the principles of Ecclesiastes 3 and 1. And we're not really going to preach from the text per se this morning, but the principle is this. God has put a time to every purpose under heaven. It's on a timetable. Everything is. Your life, my life, the world around us in which we live, everything is according to a timetable that is set by God. So there is no such thing as lucky or happenstance or oops, that shouldn't have been, or I was just one day and boy, I don't know where that came from. No, everything has a time to it. God has put a time, it says, to every purpose under heaven, whether it's something small or what we would consider insignificant, which to God is not the case, every purpose has a time to it. Every one of them. Now, friend, look at me. So the time that you and I have, we need to be sure we use this time God has given us wisely, carefully. It is your most precious resource. It is your most valuable asset. And it is the thing that we waste the most. I hate time wasters. I can't stand, I don't like to stand in line. Can't stand it. Don't want to stand in line. I hate stop signs and red lights. I do. I stop at them, but I hate them, because they're stopping me from where I'm going. It's not just because if you get to a certain age and you have this sense, you've got to hurry up and get things done. It simply means there should be number one, here's what you do with your time. Number one, you should value your time, because time is precious. We have wasted too much time. Would you not agree? Don't say amen, then I'll just say it for you. Amen, brother. We have wasted too much time. Too much time has come and gone. How many more weeks have to pass before we get to the end of the week and say, boy, where did that week go? What happened to this day today? For some people, they have no life, and so to them, time means nothing. You know those people get in front of you and they drive slow. And I always think to myself, I have a life. I got to get somewhere. If you don't have a life, pull that sucker over and milk it and get out of the cotton picking way, because I got stuff to do. It's like they have no life. If they had a life, they'd get, I don't mean they have to drive fast. They just need to get wherever it is they're going. And when they look in the rearview mirror and see me, get out of the way. Because we have to value our time. We waste time on things that really don't matter. Seriously, the time that you spent this week on whatever it is you did, good or bad or indifferent. Seriously, is it going to matter 100 years from tomorrow? You mean the whole thing was a waste of time? Didn't say that. Oh, look, you went to work, provided for your family. That matters. Oh, yes, that's precious time. That was valuable. You took care of your own. You provided for your needs. You paid your taxes and helped all these other people who don't want to work. Look at what you did with what your time. No, I didn't say that everything we do shouldn't be a waste of time, and it isn't. But we do spend too much time on things that really, really don't matter. 100 years from now, is anybody going to know what you did this week? Is it going to matter? We lose time with things that we give our time to things that we'll have another time to do and think, well, I shouldn't have done that, but I'll do that another day. When the truth is, the promise of today is all we have. That is all we have. Every moment, every minute, every hour, every day, every second we have is a precious thing. Well, Pastor Johnson, I mean, I know I should see it that way, but that's not how I look at it. But you should. We would value our time more correctly if we understood that once you have it and it's gone, that's exactly it. It's gone. Someone wastes your time. That's why it aggravates me when somebody wastes my time. Because they just stole from me. As far as I'm concerned, they put a gun to my life and took away part of my life because they wasted it. On stuff. That's why I can't stand people when you ask them, well, you go to a business and you say, you have so-and-so in this department. Oh, well, I don't know. Well, do you work in this department? Oh, yeah. Then could you help me find this, please? Oh, I think it's over there. Could you just get the guy in the back with the brain to come out and give me a hand to find what it is I'm looking for, please? It's unbelievable. Incredible. See, to most people they think, oh, well, you know, you just kind of walk around. No, excuse me. There's something we got to do. If we valued our time, ladies and gentlemen, we'd realize how precious the time is we have, and we need to live as if today is the only day we will have. Well, there may be a tomorrow, Pastor Johnson. There will be a tomorrow. No, you don't know that. This life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. I'm not saying you don't live like there isn't going to be another day. We have to be wise about what we do with our lives and our the things that God gives us. But when it comes to the day, I got out of bed this morning, Sunday morning. This is the only Sunday in April 11th, 2010 I'm ever going to have in my entire life. I do not want to waste this day on something that doesn't matter and doesn't count. If you value time, it makes a difference in what you do with the time God gives you. Because to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. For example, the things of God, spiritual things, you want to call them that. The time is now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2, the Bible said, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, it's interesting in the Bible how that Jesus and the Word of God always puts an emphasis on this matter of salvation, like you need to take care of it right now. No casual stuff. No, well, think about it when you get around to it. One of these days, you need to put your ducks in order and blah, 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 blah. No, the Bible's emphasis is always now. It's interesting that the analogy of the new birth that Jesus used in John chapter 3, where he said you must be born again. Now, you have a physical birth. You also have a spiritual birth. Now, your mother may have carried you for 9 months or however long, and then you may have brought into this world after a great deal of labor, but you weren't counted born until you came forth, and you came forth from your mother. There was a moment of birth into this life, and there needs to be a moment of salvation where you trust Christ, and you settle it, and you know it, and you remember what you did, and you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's a now kind of salvation. Plus, Jesus also, in that same passage in John 3, Jesus put an emphasis on the importance and the urgency of the new birth of salvation. Ye must be born again. This idea today that's going around in our churches where, let's all talk about having an interpersonal relationship with Jesus Christ and make a commitment to the Lord in your life. One of these days when you feel like it and you get around to it. Hogwash! Not when heaven and hell are in balance. Not when eternity is on the other side of a breath or a heartbeat. No! You must be born again. Well, Pastor Johnson, see, that's a problem. You need to sort of back up a little bit. No, you need to step up a lot. You need to realize, friend, that when you realize you're lost, you need Jesus. You trust Christ. You must be born again. Now is the accepted time, the Bible says. Now. Now is the day of salvation. This is it. We need to do something about that. We need to take care of it. My friend, if you're here today and you've never settled this matter of salvation in your life, then now is the time to settle it. Today. This service, before you leave this building, you be sure you're born again. I did a funeral for a family loved one this week. I did not know the lady. She was my brother, an in-law's mother. I met her, I think, one time in all the years that she was, all the years my brother-in-law has been in our family. But she passed away in a city not far from here, and they asked me to come and do her funeral. And it was just a few Christians in that part of the family. After the service, I asked one of them. I said, yeah, tell me something. I said, was Grandma a Christian? Was she saved? She looked at me and she said, well, she never said anything to me about it. And I thought, her body's in that casket, and you don't know? I didn't say anything to her. I didn't want to hurt her, break her heart, make her feel bad about it. But I said, you don't know? I thought to myself, you don't, but you're not sure? Look at me. Now it's too late. There's no eternal life after eternal life. There's eternity, but no eternal life after eternal life. There is no eternal life after eternity. You die, you go into eternity, you're in heaven or in hell, and that's where you'll spend your forever. You see why the Bible says now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see how we need to value the time that we have? Well, I heard that once before, and I'll go to church someday. No, that's not the issue. The issue is, are you born again? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? If you don't know that, now's the time. This is it. Now's the time to take care of that. Now, we as Christians who have already trusted Christ, we understand that principle when it comes to our soul. Let's flip the coin for a moment. Then what about the things of God's claims upon your life? What God calls and asks of you in your life, question, how much longer and how much more time are we going to spend with the one of these days when I get around to it kind of Christianity? I'm not talking about salvation now. This is a person born again on their way to heaven. But the Bible says what? No, you're not, that you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Every child of God that on their way to heaven should be on this earth living their day-by-day life under the hand of God, under His authority, by His word, and in His will, and not wasting any more time. See, this time issue, friend, this matter of what happens with my life and what I do with my life, it's a matter of what are you going to do with your time. We cannot afford to spend any more time on the foolishness of sin and on the philosophy of, well, one of these days when I get around to it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 reminds us there's a time to every purpose. Listen, it means a set, limited amount of time to every purpose. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands this morning. I want you to answer this question honestly and just to yourself. Do you have eras and periods of your life you wish you could get back? Time that should have been spent at something else and was not. You understand now, don't we, that time is gone. I can't do anything about it. I'm going to talk to you about redeeming the time in just a moment. But I can't get that back. From the time I was 12 until I was 22, I was outside the will of God. Look at me. That was 10 years of wasted time. All my teenage years, 4 years in the military, all of it is gone. I can do nothing about that time. Nothing. But I'll tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, by the grace of God, I'm not wasting any more time. I don't have time to give. You say, well then, Pastor Johnson, you mean you're always on the go, you never relax? No, I didn't say that. Time, if we value time, we spent time this week with our daughter and her husband down the Bay Area, our granddaughter, oldest granddaughter, turned 5. And this is kind of what brought this message on in my own thinking. So if this doesn't help you today, I'm just preaching to Mike Johnson. But we finished the funeral on Friday morning, and if the family was going to do some things, we were going to stay with them, then come home. We had a lot of things to do here at home. But the granddaughter's birthday party was a Friday. But it's in Santa Clara, 250 miles away. So I had to make a juggle in my mind, the time factor. Not going down and coming back. Did I really have the time? Say, that's just a birthday. It's no big deal. Man, she'll only be 5 once in her life. I want you to look at me this morning. And too many times in my life, I made the choice of ministry over family. And that's time I can never get back. So my wife and I talked about it, and I said, well, let's do this. If this happens, then we'll take that of God and we'll go. Came up, and then we said, right, fine. So we didn't even have stuff to stay another night. I mean, we were just going to go down to, it was in Marysville, and preach, do the funeral, and come back home. So we didn't plan on spending another night. Didn't plan on missing our soul winning time here and a full day's work on Saturday that I usually have and all those other things. And as I drove down there, now listen to me, as I drove down there, I thought to myself, I felt guilty about not going home and getting my work, some of the work done and things done I needed to do. Then I felt right about going down to spend time with my granddaughter. But then I thought to myself, well, I'm not going to waste my time and the time that I have wishing I was somewhere else. I'm just going to go ahead and enjoy my time and the time God has given me. My friend, look at me. You can go ahead and kiss off eras and decades in your life if you want to, and then turn around and wish you woulda, coulda, shoulda, or you can go ahead and get your ducks in order, Christian, get your life right, and quit wasting time. It's not a waste of time to do what God told you to do. It's not a waste of time to do what God has for you to do. It's not a waste of time to spend time with your family. It's not a waste of time to go to church. It's not a waste of time to read your Bible. It's not a waste of time to live right. It's not a waste of time to do what's right, and we cannot give ourselves to things that do not matter for eternity. We need to value our time. It's time to realize how precious what this era of this time we have is, and get every bit of life out of it we can. Number two, with your time, here's what you need to do. You need to discern the time. Value it and discern it. Luke chapter 12, the Bible said, Jesus said, you know what? You step out and you look up at the sky and you say, you know, it's cloudy, it might rain. He says, you look up at the sunset, and it's a sailor thing they call it, where you see a red sunset, you know it'll be fair weather the next day. He says, you know what? You can discern the face of the sky, but you do not discern the time in which you live. Look at me. They were standing there looking at the embodiment of God the Son, Jesus Christ, standing there in front of them, and they could tell the weather better than they could tell who he was. Now watch me. We live in one of the most interesting, fascinating eras of time, maybe the most interesting one in the history of mankind. You know why? We have seen literally hundreds and dozens of biblical prophecies God said would take place, have now taken place. All the things are in order before Jesus Christ is to return again. There are no prophecies left to be fulfilled. Those who in the New Testament days who look forward to the return of Christ and said this would happen and that would happen, that's all done. Israel has regathered. Nations are in alignment. Everything is done. There is nothing between us and a trumpet sound, the dead in Christ rising first. We which are alive and remain being caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And all we're concerned about is whether or not the accelerator sticks on our Toyota. And I saw one stopped at a red light the other day. I know they can stop. We're all hung up about politics and social issues and those things. And I'm saying those things are not important. I'm saying this. Why can't we discern the face of the time in which we live? This is it, ladies and gentlemen. I do not believe this generation that saw the birth of the nation of Israel will pass before Christ returns. I'm not setting a date. I'm picking a generational level. It could happen at any moment and at any time. And this is that time. Why can't we see that? I remember when I first started going to independent fundamental Baptist churches in the 70s, boy, they talked a lot about the return of Christ. They preached a lot of messages about it, and they had rapture sessions, all this kind of stuff, talking about how soon we were to the return of Christ. There were prophecies yet still unfulfilled then in the 70s, but they're all done now. You may not get to your car today before the trump of God sounds and we go up. Do you realize how close we are? Do you realize where we're at? This is not the last days. These are not the last days. These are the last minutes. This is it. Why can't we discern the time? You see why then it would be wrong? The Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew 24:44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Not day, not month, not era, not year. He said hour. When people get to the point where 1 hour is just another hour, it's another day, it's another this, it's another that, he said, that's when Christ comes back, in such an hour as you think not. You see why we can't waste any time here? Do you see why it's precious, the time that you give? Do you see how important this hour is in which we live? This is it. I don't want my grandchildren to grow up in the America where America's growing now, going now. I don't want my grandkids to have this country then. I love my nation. I love America. When I held those grandbabies the other day in my arms and I looked at them and I thought to myself, oh, what will America be for their lives when they're adults? Based on the course and direction of the day in which we live, what kind of country am I going to leave my grandkids? Well, they'll just have to deal with it. You hard-hearted, wicked soul. You've got to be kidding me. On before us have been people who love the liberties and the freedoms of this nation and were willing to sacrifice for them. You mean to tell me we're just going to roll over and get, say, well, then we need to, here it is, Pastor Johnson. Then we need to go after that guy in the White House and get after the governor and get after all these kind of folks. All right, fine. Well, fine and good. You want to throw a few minutes to politics, you go right ahead. But let me tell you something this morning. I'll tell you what will make a difference. Ye are the salt of the earth, the Bible says. And if the salt has lost its savor, it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out underfoot of men and trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Salt and light, that's what America needs. Preservatives, protections, flavoring, light to dispel the darkness. That's what it needs. And that's what you are and that's what I am in our day-to-day lives. Yeah, I signed the petitions too and I'm aware of what's going on with this and that and everything else. But the bottom line is, friend, if you're not living right, you're what's wrong with America and not what's right with this country. It's high time we get this thing figured out. It's time to do something about it. People are just looking today like somehow or another out of the sweeping darkness of America, someone is going to step up like the shepherd and just lead this nation onto where it's supposed to be. I'm not looking for somebody to step out of the darkness. I'm looking for God's people to step into the light and be the salt that they're supposed to be instead of joining up and living like the world in which they live. That is what's wrong with America. Don't you discern the time? Don't you see? We can either wag our heads and say, oh, what an awful nation. What a mess this country's in. Yes, it's in trouble. America's hurting today. It's bleeding to death. But what are we going to do? Huh? Put a Tea Party Band-Aid on that? I'm not against the Tea Party. I'm giving an illustration this morning. I'm saying to you this. Listen to me. What are we going to do about it? You see, you take a little bit of salt and put it where it needs to be. And it's amazing how it impacts and affects everything around it. And you're the salt of the earth. I should be making a difference in my place where I live. My city, my neighborhood, my community, where I live. I should be making a difference. Are you making a difference today? Are we making the difference? See, there's no time to waste on this now. Do you not discern the time? Jesus is coming. There is so much to do. And we've got all of our stuff. We're putting billions and trillions of dollars into things that aren't going to last 5 seconds after you're gone. We're investing in putting our efforts and our strength and our labors into things that do not matter. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming today. So if he comes today, friend, so I'm a Christian, I'm going up, wonderful. But are you ready to face him with the life you have lived up to this point from the day of your salvation? Well, I don't know, Pastor Johnson. Then there's you're wasting time. We must discern the time and realize the time as to the condition of the world in which we live is beyond just wringing our hands and sitting around watching news reports and going, man, what an idiot. How do they think? How could they think like that? But what are we going to do about it then? Again, sometimes people will tell me, well, Pastor Johnson, then here's what we need to do. And they give me all this list of all these activities, things, functions they get into. No, excuse me, look here. Shasta Baptist Church this week, next week, and by the grace of God every week until we're no longer on this earth is going to do this. We're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to preach the word of God to people as they are, the way it should be preached, instead of shaping a message to try and tickle their ear and comfort them in what they are and what they do. We're going to preach the Bible like it is. We're going to run buses. We're going to go to the rescue mission. We're going house to house and door to door. We're going to support missionaries. We're going to put the light where it is supposed to be and the salt where it needs to be and do that. And that, my friend, is our asset in this community. We are doing something about it. Question is this. What are you doing to help us do our job? See why Sunday morning Christianity? I'm sorry. I understand it. I have people tell me, oh, Pastor John, you put too much pressure on people. I'm not putting pressure on anybody other than to tell you this. It's time to get off of it, friend, and get on with it. Something must be done. We can either stand around and wring our hands and watch the whole thing go down the tubes, or by the grace of God, we can apply salt where we are and light where it's needed and let God use our lives for a reason. There is a purpose, friend. There's a time to every purpose under heaven. I mentioned this the other night. A few months ago, God put this man on my heart that stood up at our wedding, my wife and I's wedding, 35 years ago this December. He and I had been friends all through high school. And then about 20 years ago, we lost contact, just life and stuff. I thought, well, that's strange. I haven't thought about him in a long time. So I tried to find him. Facebook. Oh, Facebook. Amazing how many of you folks are on Facebook, by the way. Facebook. I signed up trying to find this guy, and I started getting, will you be my friend on Facebook, from these people in our church and stuff, which is, I found a guy, and I'm going to cancel my Facebook. You get one, that's your business. I'm not telling you shouldn't have it. I got time for that kind of stuff, so I ain't going to mess with it. But I found couldn't find him personally. Found one of his son. He was a little kid when we first last saw him. Then his daughter that we never met. I contacted her. He died 3 weeks ago. My friend, this guy I knew. If I had tried to make contact with him several months back, I could at least talk to him before he died. And I remembered about 20-some years ago. I set him down, I gave him the gospel, and I told him how to be saved. He just sort of brushed it off. A few months after that, he came back to me. He said, you know, I trusted Christ, I got saved. He said, you were a little intense that day. You came on really strong. And I didn't. I just told him how to be saved. I wasn't preaching at him. He says, but I got it settled in my life. Now he's in heaven. Salt and light. Discerning the time. The last thing to do with your time is this. The Bible calls it in Ephesians 5:16 and Colossians 4:5. It calls it redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Now listen. You cannot go back and relive eras of your life. So stop trying to act like a teenager when you're 60. Okay? Quit that. That is foolishness. Why are you people trying to act like kids when they're grown up? Well, I'm just trying to reclaim my youth. But you can't reclaim it. It's gone. Once it's past. You can do nothing about it. So redeeming the time doesn't mean go back and try and act like you're a child again. Redeeming the Bible, the word redemption means this. It means to pay a price now to purchase what was lost. So I have 10 years of my life that are gone in foolishness and stupidity. So how do I redeem that 10 years? I can't go and get it back. But I can tell you what I can do now. I can pay the price now by living the Christian life I should have been living then today. And in that doing, so doing, I'm redeeming the time that I lost. So you'll get those 10 years back. Nope, I don't get them back. They're gone. But paying the price now, I should have been paying as a teenager growing up, my 4 years in the military. That time should have been spent, and my labors and efforts that should have been on spiritual things and doing what God told me to do and living God's will for my life. Then that time is gone. But now, from that time, 1975, August of 75, till this day, by the grace of God, till I drop dead, I'm going to pay the price now for what I should have been paying then. Everything costs something, ladies and gentlemen. There ain't no free lunch. Got it? Everything has a price. So time that's lost, I can pay the price now to get that back. I can't relive it. But I can do now what I should have done then. Give yourself now and for the rest of the time God gives you on this earth. Do what God wants you to do and do it. Look at me and do it now. Today. This is it. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, now's the day of salvation. This is it. Trust Christ and get saved today. Settle it. If you're a child of God and you're not outside the will of God and your life is not right, get right with God today. It's time to get rededicated as a Christian and get back on track. It's time to get this thing in order and straighten it out. It's now. Now is the time. No more wasted time. I don't want to come back, trumpet God's sound, and go, oops, all the way up. No, that's not how you want to do it. You want to go, say, but Pastor Johnson, I mean, you know, God will understand. God will not understand. There is no mercy when it comes to the child of God having wasted the life that God gave them with the knowledge that they had. All you have to do is read Romans 2 and 3 and see that the greater the light, the greater the responsibility. Luke chapter 12 says this, for to whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. The more you know, the more he expects from you. And if you know enough to do better than what you're doing, he's not going to be happy about it. And he isn't happy now. And look at me, friend, let me say this and finish this morning. And if you're doing the best you can with what God has given you, then he is pleased. And you don't have to live up to somebody else's expectations. You just have to answer to God for what you do with your life. But you need to give it your best shot. You need to give God what you are, what you have, the very best you can, and let God take control of that thing and let God benefit from it. Because here's what's going to happen. You see, to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. I get one shot at this life. I'm in, I'm out, that's all. And after that, God will have to resolve the rest of the issues. I've just got to give him what I can with the life I have. You take one day and you wring it out. That's why he made our lives on a 24-hour schedule. He made everything in a period of a day. He made the time frame in a period of 24 hours. 6 days, creation, done. So we have one day to do our best for God. That day, that's what you do. And you get up tomorrow and you put another day with that one and you just give him the time that is rightfully his. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.